Blog Talk Radio.
Hi, everybody. This is Sally Olcordy, and you're listening to Public Advocate Radio. I have been making it a point to record programs that I think will be removed from different media outlets. And today I am going to be recording for posterity, basically, in case it gets removed, health risks of masks exposed by Tammy Clark and Kristen Megan. Now, I haven't heard this video, but I know that Kristen Megan is extremely knowledgeable, and this is bound to be an important report. So I am going to be recording this for that reason. And just so you know, yesterday or the day before, yesterday my own show was censored. The day before, I recorded one program of the two I wanted to get before they disappeared. And while that was recording, the second disappeared. So this is no joke. Two-thirds of the programs that I listen to on YouTube that I've subscribed to have disappeared. My blogs looked like patchwork with all the disappeared videos from them. Took me an entire day to clean up all the missing videos. And that's all I can say. We got to catch it while we can. And I'm sure that Kristen Megan will, and I don't know Tammy Clark, but nonetheless, I'm sure this is going to be an important report. Please stay tuned. If there's time, there's another video that I am hoping to capture before that too goes away. All right. Stay tuned while I play Tammy Clark and Kristen Megan on health risks of masks exposed.
Move your back just a little bit. Right now we have this bright light.
Okay.
What about the bright light overhead here? What do you think? I don't know. We're just kind of making do here. We've got a boardroom situation. We have a bright light overhead, so bear with us while we get caught up here.
This will be a good chance to get more people to jump on, tag your friends.
That's true. Yeah, tag your friends. Let everybody know. ESPN.com. We're live.
Oh, that's much better.
There we
call
go.
Me MacGyver, folks.
not only are we PPE experts, we're pretty creative as well. All right, so we're going to give it just a couple minutes while we just talk. Krista gave you some of her credentials. I am an environmental health and safety professional. We are both OSHA environmental health and safety consultants and very trained in the world of toxicology, virology, immunology, pathogens, PPE protection, PPE testing. Both of us have done hundreds and hundreds of tests for contractors, employees, medical professionals, and even some of the medical facilities like surgical suites and things like that where the air quality in the environment, that microenvironment has to be very, very controlled for the doctors and the nurses. So we're very familiar with the whole mask conversation. It really hits kind of near and dear to both of our hearts, which is why we're paying very close attention to all of this, and we are very concerned as environmental health and safety professionals. So I've also done a lot of medical training. Kristen and I were talking. I said, you know, one of the comments was everybody's like, what's your credentials? You know, of course, as soon as you start talking, they start challenging you like you don't know what you're talking about or we're some rogue scientist or something. So I've got a lot of medical and construction environmental health and safety credentials as well. One of the things that I've worked with, I had somebody call me a construction grade safety person. So I had to laugh at that because, you know, lumber is considered construction grade, not certifications. So I had to laugh at that because honestly, just my work in the construction environment is what has really allowed me to get down and dirty in the world of pathogens and hazardous chemicals and testing and all of that. So hazardous materials technician, emergency care technician, I've been an instructor, medical instructor with outdoor emergency care and all of that kind of thing. So Kristen and I are just gonna have a conversation about some things that we're both very concerned about. And hopefully as we talk, some of this stuff will come to light and you'll be able to get some of your questions answered. And then at the very end, we'll kind of back up and answer some of the questions that you guys sent in earlier from the last live that I did on Stand Up Michigan. So credentials out of the way, all that good stuff out of the way. Let's talk about masks. All right, so what do we know about this virus to begin with? Because this is really all about COVID-19 and it's really all about the coronavirus. So what do we know about this? We have to talk about what we know about before we can talk about what we don't know about, right? So what do we know about the coronavirus? Well, we know that this particular virus is incredibly, incredibly tiny. It is a viron that is part of the classification of coronaviruses. There are a lot of coronaviruses out there. This is a novel virus. So this is when we say this is a novel virus, what that means in virology is that this is a strain of the virus that we have never seen before. And this actually goes back to some chimeric research. If you don't understand that, you can look it up. Chimeric research that the virus itself has been intentionally genetically modified and engineered with another strain of another virus. So it's part of the SARS virus family, but it has been, it's a chimerically altered virus. So we consider it to be a novel virus, which is why we don't know a whole lot about it yet. So what we do know, though, is that it is so tiny that it's between 0.06 microns and 0.125 microns. So what that means when it comes to masks and the homemade cloth masks in particular is really the hot topic that we want to address. They do literally nothing to protect you from disease transmission. Okay, so everybody talks about mask up to protect your neighbors so you don't kill grandma, all that kind of thing. This is what you're hearing from people. Well, what you need to understand from a virology perspective is that that mask is not protecting anybody around you at all from the expiration of this pathogen to those around you. So let's talk about surgical masks. And N95s, because this is kind of your world too. You've done a lot of testing and things like that. So do you want to talk about masks and different types and sizes and all
so
that?
So just to get into a little bit more of my credentials, I know a lot of you know Tammy. Some of you may follow me. So I'm a military veteran, and when I was in the Air Force, I worked in a job called bioenvironmental engineering. And between my time of 9 years on active duty and all my years since 2010 working in private industry, I've conducted well over 10,000 fit tests on respirators and different types of masks. And my experience in seeing people fit tested failing wasn't just because of, well, when you get fit tested, there's two different ways to get fit tested. There's qualitative fit testing and there's quantitative fit testing. And the most common is quantitative. So basically, when you're seeing all these tests done, on YouTube, where people are using pulse oximeters and things like that, that measures hemoglobin and oxygen saturation. Well, to actually properly detect, like you may have seen on Dell Bigtree's video from the High Wire, is that in order to gauge the amount of oxygen or the off balance of allowed gaseous exchange rates within the mask, when you get fit tested, there's a little port that goes to your mask that can not only measure the air inside the mask, but what's in the outside ambient air? And basically, when you're getting fit tested in the workplace, it's a calculation within the machine that's determining, can you perform certain physical movements, talking based on your weight, not having facial hair? There's a lot of different situations in which you have to be aligned with to pass the fit test. I've seen people faint during fit tests. I've seen people get lightheaded. I've seen people tell me, whoa, whoa, I need to sit down. Mm-hmm. So I have a lot of experience in understanding the limitations, usage, training, all of that, proper cleaning, decon, donning means to put on a mask, doffing means to remove the mask. And the problem is that all of this data, what you're seeing, and that's why we have joined forces, thankfully we've networked on social media, is that there's so many issues. So what we're trained to do in a work environment through federal regulations, through OSHA, is not what we're seeing at the hands of our governor. We just have this blanket mask mandate. And the issue with that is we're not following any other protocols. So if we have this science in the workplace saying, hey, you fill out this medical questionnaire, and if you had things like claustrophobia, anxiety, PTSD, kidney issues, history of a stroke, history of a cancer, certain genetic factors can trigger you to need a further evaluation, and there's a pulmonary test, there's a huge function test in order to approve you to wear a mask. See, mask wearing and respirator wearing is not just what is your personal medical history. It is mostly involved in what will you be doing while you're wearing the mask. Are you working in a confined space? Are you working in hot environments, cold environments? And also, what else are you wearing? Are you wearing other forms of PPE? And while this all really ties into the workplace is impacted by this mandate, but so is it for the private citizen. Because when you just tell someone to slap on a mask, you don't know any of their medical history, and you don't know the conditions in which they're wearing the mask, and you don't understand what they may be doing, whether this is a parent with multiple kids snapping them in and out of car seats, whether someone is overweight, whether they have skin conditions. You can get maskne, which is a socially acceptable term for a type of dermatitis that actually, if you get in the workplace, is an OSHA recordable. This is why we wanted to get together and talk about this, because the whole mask usage, there are so many guidelines you must follow. And the most important and the biggest issue with the mask mandates is that there's an institution called NIOSH. It's the National Institute of Occupational Safety and Health. And there's also another group that basically any form of PPE that you're wearing has to be anti-rated and NIOSH approved. And these homemade masks, while I totally understand the intent is to be kind and selfless and help others, they are actually dangerous. And they're dangerous because it's the same reason when you go to your physician, they ask you, do you have a latex glove allergy? You don't just need disabilities or issues that you can't see, like PTSD and anxiety and claustrophobia. There are physical issues that can exempt you from wearing a mask, and you need to know your rights. And it's scary right now, but that's why we wanted to team up and to discuss this, because we are both subject matter experts in this. And I have the utmost respect for medical professionals and doctors. I work in preventive medicine, but we are the subject matter experts, and we are the ones that will tell people in a medical setting what type of PPE they need to utilize. So basically, that's the gist of my major ethical issues with this mask mandate.
Yeah, so let's talk about, because this is such a concern, let's talk quickly about some of the tests. And I'm sure some of you, because I have so many people messaging me and sending me some of these videos that are available online, like the Dell Victory videos, mm-hmm. and other videos where we're actually putting people in the face covering, and then we're just a simple face covering or just a simple like a dust mask type of thing. And then we're actually doing the test where, like you had mentioned, they insert the tube and, you know, we get the reading. Well, we're seeing readings that are falling into the 84, 85 range. And Medicaid will provide and cover oxygen for you at 86. It's considered hypoxic. And yet we have some people who will test very low, even very healthy people like runners and very fit people. We're all different. Our bodies are all different. So some people, their oxygen levels will drop to hypoxic levels, even in a face mask. And we know this because we've done testing with these direct read instruments. And so if we know this, why are we just making this an across-the-board mandate? That's the question Kristen and I and all of the professionals in our field are asking. I was on the phone with two other safety and health professionals today, and we had a long conversation about this. What really bothers us is that it's being mandated at the government level. And these are the government agencies that actually were created. Their mission, OSHA's mission, is to protect the safety and health of America's workers. That's the reason they were created in 1970, to keep you safe, to make sure you have a healthy and safe working environment, to make sure that your employer does not force you to do something that's going to cause health or safety issues for you or expose you to hazardous environments. That's why 50 years ago OSHA was created. We have 50 years of OSHA making sure through testing, through partnership with their sister agency, NIOSH, which is the National Institute of Safety and Health. I can't remember if you explained that or not, but NIOSH. We have 50 years of science. We have 50 years of testing that proves when contractors initially began putting on just a simple face cloth covering, which was like a dust mask, it wasn't even a real respirator. It was just covering their mouth and nose because of drywall dust, wood particulates, you know, wood shavings or paint fumes or anything like that. They would just put a simple handkerchief or bandana over their mouth and nose. And what happened?
They just fall out.
We were killing people. They would have heart attacks. We had people not just faint, but some people, their cardiopulmonary system is not strong enough even to be able to just put a simple face covering over the mouth and nose and then do your work and exert yourself all day. So we were literally killing people by doing this. And this is why OSHA started doing the science, doing the research, testing the oxygen levels inside of the face mask and outside to determine what are they actually breathing in, what are the oxygen levels they're breathing in. And what they discovered was it was hypoxic. The oxygen levels are so low with some of them. Not everyone is going to react this way, but with many people, they would drop to hypoxic levels, and that's why they were getting headaches, nauseated, lightheaded, heart attacks. Some people's cardiopulmonary systems are not strong enough to handle that, and we will give them a heart attack. So knowing that, because of that information, OSHA literally created the respiratory standard. that went into effect. Well, it's been less than 50 years ago now for the respiratory standard.
Yeah.
But I mean, they've been around for 50 years, but the respiratory standard has been in effect for quite some time based on this science that we know. Okay, so if we know this, why in the world did Michigan OSHA just drop the bomb on us that they just dropped? Megan and I were literally in our cars on the way here to the facility that we met at to do this. And we had to stop for a bottle of wine. It was that good. It gave us so much to talk about.
We're not joking. We had to put our emotions in check because
right.
Those who follow me know I'm big on saying that. Your emotions cloud judgment. And when that – there's a difference, though, between using your emotions because, you know, you get your rage because you're affected personally. This is nothing personal. This is about professional. I've been in this field for 18 years. Tam, you've been in it for 20. While we have the same type of background, we also have different strengths between the two of us. That's why we're a great force together, and we're uniting to talk about this. When I saw my OSHA drop this sort of placard or meme that said, no shoes, no shirt, no mask, no service.
You should pull it up and show it.
My...
We about died.
The hot flashes ensued, folks. and the reason is, and this is it, you guys.
This is what OSHA's going to tell everybody
now.
This
is the glare. You see that? Basically, if you go to my OSHA, one thing you guys need to understand, guys and gals, is that there is federal OSHA, okay? Federal OSHA is the highest law. Every state has their own Department of Labor, or like in Michigan, we have my OSHA, Michigan OSHA. All the laws and standards within my OSHA have to, at a minimum, align with federal guidelines. They can exceed them. They can be more stringent. Same with the Department of Defense. A lot of military standards exceed OSHA standards, but at a minimum, they must meet that. So this MyOSHA language that just came out is in direct violation with federal law. This just dropped this evening, so I can't even imagine the type of legality issues that are going to come up. But this is a violation of federal OSHA. It's a violation of the ADA. It's a violation of so many things.
It's a violation of Michigan OSHA.
And individual property rights. Having the governor come in and mandate a business to force their patrons to utilize what they're now calling PPE, which it is, the way that they're backpedaling from trying to avoid these laws is to not call it personal protective equipment, PPE. They're trying to call it an article of clothing. It's not an article of clothing. We all know when we shop and we buy shirts, there's holes, folks. There's holes in our clothing to allow us to breathe. So anything that's inhibiting your body's natural operations is an issue, and it is PPE. And by you saying it's not about you, it's about the people around you, that's completely fake.
Right.
And at what point did we become such a draconian society that somehow we're stating that our individual lives are less important than our neighbors? You know, we need to have unity and selfless ideologies, but I'm going to tell you right now, as a disabled veteran, I have reasons I can't wear a mask. I spent 9 years in masks and gas masks and respirators. I can't do it anymore. Because of my background in toxicology, I fully understand these risks. And not only am I credentialed in those things, I'm also credentialed in decontaminate site management. I used to be a huge manager in the city of Chicago in the event of any sort of pandemic or emergency response, whether it's with a chemical warfare, biological, or even viral, I was the person to manage it. So I'm standing here today as someone who works for myself. I have no one to answer to. And that's what her and I discussed prior, is that people in our field are afraid to talk. You know, my husband, I'll leave his new employer nameless. He would have joined us. My husband is also in my field, but he's also credentialed as he has a master's in public health and emergency management. And people have to fear losing their jobs. And we all have ethics within our profession, whether we took an oath or not. The ethics within our profession is to help employers and employees. It's not just to fight against, you know, the upper echelons. It's to make sure everything jives together, because when employees are happy and management happy, people work safer. This right now is pitting not just management and employees against each other, but it's hurting businesses, because businesses are now required to put things in place that are going to push people away. I know the group, and, you know, we all know, we won't get into it. There's some sort of infighting within groups. But there's a group called Michigan United for Liberty, and I was looking at their page because I like to reach out to other networks and see. And they have a bunch of information on there where they're basically calling out and shaming places in Michigan that are being, like, really strict about the mask. So I would really go to their website and check that out, because we need to speak with our money. Not vote, but speak with our money. And it's very sad. I have to give a shout out here to Roses in downtown Grand Rapids. I have a medical exemption and I had no issues. And you can see in these businesses that they feel so strong-armed in having to comply with something that they feel is wrong. Going out to restaurants and only utilizing a mask. I went to the Cheesecake Factory last night.
Let
me tell you,
I was going to say, we really need to support these businesses because Gretchen Whitmer is dropping the hammer harder and harder, and I'm hearing some chatter from my connections in Lansing that there's going to be something else coming tomorrow, and it's sounding like she's going to make masks mandatory statewide, and she's going to pull us back a little bit more.
This right here, I made this myself. Can't mask, don't ask. I'm 100% disabled veteran. I got my VA card, just going to flush that quick so nobody steals my identity. But so Cheesecake Factory, they gave me the most rude look. They looked at me like I had walked around and I had some sort of glowing radiation that was going to spread, sickness that was going to spread. And I could barely even hear them because of their mask. They said, you must wear a mask. Now, my youngest daughter is 4. They didn't say a thing. I'm not putting my child in the mask. I have a daughter who's 16. While she knows the hazards associated with wearing a mask, it's her body and it's her choice. So we had to, not me, but my family had to wear a mask to get to the table. And you, if you've gone out, you've noticed this. You have to take it off.
Mm-hmm.
So magically,
yeah, this is what we've talked
COVID
about.
COVID does not spread while you're sitting. It only spreads if you're walking or burning down Burger King.
Yeah, exactly. So, I mean, think about how ridiculous this is. And I talked about this in my last video. And I think we're all on the same page. We all agree, right? We all know that this is ridiculous, but it's getting worse. So these mandates are getting worse, and we're all very frustrated. There's a lot of us that cannot wear masks for legitimate health or medical reasons. And then there's a lot of us who won't wear masks because we know how dangerous it is, and we know that it's very unhealthy, even if we don't have an underlying medical condition that will complicate the situation. So I don't have an underlying medical condition that will complicate the situation, but I know that my O2 levels will drop the minute I start covering my mouth and nose, so I won't wear a mask because I'm not going to do that. So the number one complaint that I'm getting from people, I think Kristen and I talked about this, and she hears the same thing, is headaches. Headaches,
yeah.
Nausea, extremely fatigued. I just talked to another health and safety professional today who does a lot of teaching. Maybe he's watching tonight, if you are. Hey there. But he was telling me he's got to teach in a mask all day. And by the time he's done teaching at the end of the day, he is exhausted. He is dehydrated. He doesn't feel well. He wants to go to bed. I mean, think about the drop in oxygen levels. And then because when you're talking all day, and this is what we have been talking about, that we're concerned about teachers. How in the world is a teacher? And this is what he was telling me, because he teaches. He teaches the certification courses like we do. We're train the trainers. We actually teach the trainers. We train the trainers, right? So how can you do that if you're going to cover your mouth and nose? Because you're sucking in between sentences, you're sucking in, trying to catch your breath, but you can't do that all day long. And so by the end of that 8-hour class, he said, I was absolutely exhausted. I was so fatigued. I was totally dehydrated. So think about doing this day after day after day, what we're going to do. We are going to create a very unhealthy population with immune systems that are very compromised. And what does that mean? That means we're going to see more illnesses. Because when we decrease the immune system, when the immune system is so compromised and attacked, we're going to start seeing more simple things like colds and flus, especially if you try to put kids in masks. They're touching their face 1,000 times a day with a mask on.
You know, you bring up a good point. So I knew we were going to do this live. So anytime, even though I know I'm a subject matter expert in my field, I'm continuing to learn. And I always like to research opposition to make sure that I'm understanding questions that may come up. And one of the issues having to do with mask use was talking about how wearing a mask, this was listed by a physician, wearing a mask keeps you from touching your face. No. There's a reason in the workplace when you're utilizing a dust mask or surgical mask. It is a one-time use. It's not just shift-specific. It's task-specific. So sometimes people wear dust masks because they're doing light sanding on something, or they're doing something where, you know, let me pedal back. In the workplace, there's something called the hierarchy of safety and control. So when I was in the military, I worked at a depot base. What that means is basically aircraft is taken apart to the last screw. So every type of industrial operation you can think of was performed at these bases I was at. So when you're dealing with dust, if that dust is carcinogenic, like a chromate dust or cadmium and paint, something like that, do you know that you can't just take a broom and sweep it up? You have to utilize a wet method, and that's mm-hmm. to stop it from being airborne. So when you think about that, now think about these masks. The masks are task-specific, not shift or week. You use it one time for a task, and you must toss it. And the reason for that is because understanding mask limitations, that is what you get trained on when you wear a mask. No average citizen is getting training from masks. The only training I see on YouTube, and it's by physicians. And again, respect for physicians, but we all have lanes we need to stay in. I'm not saying you're talking about open heart surgery because I'm not credentialed to do so. But when it comes to PPE, I am a court-approved PPE expert to sit there and be deposed on limitations of PPE and the history associated with people having workplace injury and illnesses by failing PPE or proper training by the employer. So when you're wearing that mask, you are touching your face nonstop. How many times have you seen people move a mask down because of sweating and go like this? Move a mask down to smoke a cigarette. You know, let's trade our COVID for a carcinogen, but it's your body, whatever. Our people are pulling, they're touching their face nonstop. The second you wear a mask and you touch your face, you are cross-contaminating. Because all those tiny particulates, let's just say COVID's around you, you're touching the outside where the air has been drawn in. The outside area of the mask catches contaminants. That's why when you take your masks off, if they're homemade cloth masks, ear loop masks, surgical masks, whatever they are, they have to be disposed of. Now, the cloth masks that people are utilizing, they can be washed. But how many people are wearing their mask and actually leaning forward, unhooking it, folding the mask within itself, putting it in a plastic bag, touching nothing, turning on the faucet with their arms, washing it? Nobody's doing that. And I'm not talking down to any of you. You haven't been provided the training that's legally allowed in the workplace. So that's why we can't use workplace controls for the general public without the proper training and understanding of the limitations. Because did you know that in the workplace, if an employee is just given a mask, anyone here that has to wear a mask in your workplace, because of COVID, I can guarantee you it's not rated to protect you from COVID. But if you went home and you didn't understand the limitations of that mask and you decided to, like, epoxy your bar top and something happened to you and you didn't know to use that in a natural ventilated area, you could sue your employer. Mm-hmm. You could sue your employer because everyone has a written half-term program. Everyone has a written training program in their workplace they're supposed to have to tell you that you understood and signed what your mask is for, how to store it, how to clean it, all those things. So if you guys have nice little fancy, like, beards going on, I mean, that's really hindering any sort of feel that you might have with your mask. And it's your right to refuse it. It's your right to refuse your own protection to your body if you want. You know, I'm sitting here drinking wine. Alcohol is horrible on the body, but I'm making an informed decision, right? So you guys aren't even allowed at that authority to make informed decisions. And when you're wearing a mask, you are hindering your body's natural immune system from functioning. We have to be exposed to mold. We have to be exposed to different ambient air from
bacteria,
industrial toxicants, things like that. Unfortunately, we need to do that to have our body be able to allow to fight back. It's no different. I always use the gym analogy. It's like if you don't work out, and you get domes, you know, the delayed onset of muscle soreness, when you work out more, right, then your body is able to handle. You're not as sore as much. So when you're just throwing a mask on somebody, your immune system's like, whoa, you don't need me anymore. And then you're more susceptible to getting other sort of respiratory issues, which can include, you know, issues with mold and fungus because you're not properly cleaning your mask. Don't use, if you have my mask, don't use fabric softener. I would boil the mask. Don't put it in the dryer. Mm-hmm. But you're not, this information, if they're going to mandate this stuff, which is still wrong, they're not providing any sort of training. It's so irresponsible. It's negligent. It's dangerous. And if you're someone that's watching saying, well, you know, probably not in this group, but as this video goes around, people say, you're not doctors. You're dang right we're not doctors. We tell the doctors what to wear, when, why, how, for what. Because it is a team effort. It's called a multidisciplinary approach. And I want to tackle something, Tammy, real quick, because I've seen a lot of medical professionals who have come forward saying, I don't know what everyone's complaining about. I wear a mask all the time in my workplace, and I've never fallen out. I've done surgery.
We're getting questions about that.
Yeah. I've done surgery. Well, I, as my time, I used to work at a large VA hospital in Chicago. And in the surgical suites, I had to go and sit through surgeries, watch people, and I don't do bones, folks, but I had to watch some horrific surgeries, and I had to sit in there and conduct air sampling and utilize something called a pedal traverse and test HVAC air exchanges, because what you don't know is when a new medical facility goes up, there is an architectural design and law in place. So whether it's a school, or it's the same thing with lighting. People don't realize that. Mm-hmm. Did you know that there's laws for how many lumens must be in certain areas? These mm-hmm. are things people don't think about because we have more of a behind-the-scenes profession. But the reason that you're not seeing surgeons fall out during surgery is because they have extra air exchanges per hour with excess oxygen and different things in place to actually help displace the anesthetic gases, so they're not getting any off-gassing from the patient. Mm-hmm. And these are things the general public doesn't know, and even people in medical professions. A lot of this happens, and you have no idea. I'm even in the room with you. Right. But it's true, and it's, like, again, it's all behind the scenes. Yes. And you don't really know about this until something like this happens.
Yeah, and we've been attacked since we started doing these, and I've been attacked. I mean, Kristen has, and it's okay. To be honest with you guys, I try not to look at the comments. Like, you know, you can't defend yourself against every dumb thing that somebody's going to say because they can Google something, right? And they don't have the information behind the scenes. They don't have the training, the education, and the field experience, the lab experience to be able to take a little snippet of what you can find on Google, which, by the way, isn't trustworthy anyway.
DuckDuckGo.
Yeah, that's right. You can't trust that. And then when they send you something and they say, well, what about this? OSHA says this. Well, what my OSHA just did today proves our point. They are working contradictory to their own standards because they are being pressured by a governor who has an agenda, and the director has no choice but to follow. And so they're now doing things that are putting you in harm's way when their whole mission is to protect your safety and health. So there's so much to this. When a doctor or a nurse stands up there, and I've gotten some questions for this, so I want to revisit what we touched on or what I talked about in my last live. Like Kristen was saying, there are architectural standards. I have been accused of being a construction safety and health consultant, and that's true. Most of my work has been focused on the construction, the commercial and industrial and civil construction industry. I've not worked in residential construction for a reason, because there is no safety and compliance in residential. And you're, good luck getting them to comply. I'm just not even interested in going there. So I focused most of my work for a reason, because I owned a construction firm many years ago before the recession. And somebody had to figure this safety stuff out, because OSHA was really coming on strong, showing up on my projects. My foremen were calling me saying, hey, we got this OSHA guy here. And I would say, well, what do they want? I mean, I kind of became the safety guru out of necessity. I didn't intentionally actually start out my career path. I was a pilot. I started out flying airplanes. I did not start out my career to get into this. But 20-some years ago, I got into this out of necessity. And so what people don't understand is that, yes, while I have focused most of my career work in the construction industry, and then also medical, I've done a lot in the medical environment as well. What that means is, as that building, as that hospital is being built, I'm working with the HVAC contractors, so I know the architectural standards and the design that those medical, surgical facilities, the standards they have to be built to, the air exchange requirements, which are much greater than in a normal room. There's a lot higher airflow and air exchange rates that the HVAC contractor has to make sure that they're meeting because of the reasons that Kristen said. And so, yeah, I'm a construction safety and health consultant, and yes, a lot of my work has been in construction, focused on a lot of those medical facilities. That's how I know. And so, like Kristen said, we come in and we do the testing to make sure that the air quality is sufficient so that those doctors and nurses and technicians are getting sufficient oxygen and they're not dealing with chemical asphyxiants because of the gases and things like that coming off of some of the machines and the anesthesiology and all that kind of stuff. So there's a lot to it behind the scenes. So when a doctor stands up there and says, we have no problem, this is all, you know, BS, we work in masks and we work in surgical masks all day long and we have no problem with this, well, guess what? That means I did my job right, because I came in and I tested that environment to make sure that the airflow exchanges were proper. You are getting more oxygen just because of the additional airflow exchanges in those rooms. So it's a very carefully controlled microenvironment. Of course, it is about infectious disease control, so it's a sterile environment, but we also are controlling the temperature, the humidity, because all of that affects oxygen levels too. So there's a lot to this, and I feel like we need to get into that and explain that, because who are you hearing from? You are hearing from doctors. And if you don't have doctor in front of your name or PhD behind your name, people are not listening to you. And yet the doctors are not the ones who understand the PPE training, the PPE, what Kristen was talking about, you know, carefully taking your mask off and folding it in half. What she was talking about, that's known as donning and doffing. So they're not trained. I mean, they learn how to don and doff their PPE, but they don't teach that. And they don't really understand why we tell them, for this particular pathogen, for this particular hazardous chemical, gas, whatever it might be, you need this particular respirator. You need this particular type of PPE. We're the ones that come in and tell them that. Now, do they understand the science behind it or know why? No. That's not their field. And that's okay. We want them to be experts at medicine, because when we need a doctor, we want them to be the best, and that's all they should focus on.
So can I just want to tap in here, because you brought a good segue for me to give an example. I'm going to sidebar for just a brief moment. So when she just talked about how we sit on, she's more in construction, I am too. So OSHA has a 1926 and 1910. There's general industry. It's just there's a mining industry. So it's just OSHA law specific to certain environments. And what does that tell you? In different environments, there's different hazards and exceptions. So I just want to share a little story real quick. When I worked at a VA hospital, there was a brand new hospital. I'll just put it on blast. It's a Jesse Brown VA. And there's a whole new dental ward. And when I came on, my predecessor was lazy. I sat on four or five different boards. One of them was an infectious disease board because, again, when it comes to this stuff, you need a multidisciplinary approach. So what I found was in the dental clinic of the VA, they were making dentures and fake teeth, and there's a hazard called methyl methacrylate. And there was two employees who had cancer. And while, you know, correlation doesn't mean causation, my experience says to me, what did I find? Where they were making the fake dental implants and things like that, they had a hood like you're cooking a cake at your house. No, you have to have capture ventilation. So when they designed a new dental clinic, they never tapped into someone like me for my career field. They didn't use a multidisciplinary approach, which is law, to make sure that the engineering control of the sucking in the ventilation from the material, which is carcinogenic, I had to rip it out and reinstall and get financial approval to reinstall the proper capture ventilation. You can't just utilize hazardous chemicals under your hood at your stove. It's because guess what happens? That it sucks it up to your face, and all the hazards going right above you, right? Mm-hmm. So capture ventilation, it had to be enclosed so you weren't breathing it in, just like the plexiglass thing you see at the checkout counter. So that's why I keep honing in on the fact that nobody that is a part of our, Whitmer staff, I will stand corrected if someone can come forward and tell me that they have someone with similar credentials as myself and Tammy. If they have credentials like us, that are speaking about the school issues, that are speaking about the mask issues, or any form of cross-contamination or anything. I have yet to see anybody on Whitmer's team. And I want to dial back to something I shared privately with Tammy. If you go to my page and you search Attorney General, you will see that on April 27th, I called the Attorney General's office because it was when the mask mandate started to unfold, and I saw it coming. And as someone in my field, before I met Tammy, I felt alone, and I thought, where in the world are the other professionals speaking out about this? And I got a call back from the Assistant Attorney General, and I forget his name, he was male. He was so respectful and kind, and he oversees my OSHA and all the Department of Labor special. He said, oh, my goodness, I did not even know this. And he's sitting there Googling the OSHA stand. So I said, yes, this is going to be a health hazard. This is going to violate OSHA law. This is going to really upset unions. This is going to upset employees. It's putting businesses in a bad spotlight because they're going to be prone to having to pay workers' comp and be sued after being shut down. Well, that attorney general told me he was going to talk to my OSHA to tell my OSHA to get with OSHA to make sure what they did was correct. And after today seeing this information drop, I know he failed me. I know he's not doing his job. And this is the type of stuff that can, it's criminal. It's absolutely criminal. Any member, I've taken an oath. I took an oath in the military 2 times. I took an oath in my profession working my job code. I was a senior industrial hygienist and environmental specialist within an F healthcare facility, running decon lines, radiation safety officer. My credentials are long, and I'm proud of them. And like I said, everyone has to have their feet to the fire. If you look at all the water quality issues here in Michigan, people should go to jail because the people that let all that fail, there's some people like me who didn't do their jobs. I do environmental toxicology. Somebody should have stood up. We need to hold people accountable for failing to utilize their jobs by following law. And one thing about law you guys need to understand, did you know that whenever OSHA enacts a new law or it has to do a new standard with exposure guidelines, did you know that other countries are years ahead of us?
Mm-hmm.
Just like when we had the Fukushima issue, did you know the EPA raised the exposure limits for what you could be exposed to not scare the public? Well, I always say, we know within our career field, where there is a standard, there is a hazard. But where there's a hazard, there is not always a standard.
Mm-hmm.
So there's not an OSHA catch-all standard for everything. But let me tell you where OSHA will cite you. I will go ahead and quickly, briefly read this to you. There is something that's part of the OSHA Act that is called the General Duty Clause. And the General Duty Clause states, it requires that employers are to furnish its employees employment in a place of employment which are free from recognized hazards that are causing or are likely to cause death or serious physical harm. Well, let me tell you, putting a facial covering over someone without a medical exam or at least at a minimum filling out the medical questionnaire is a major issue. I'm going to take a brief moment to tell you. I'm going to say it, but there's the easy way to Google it. There's a standard. It's called 1910.134, and it's Appendix C, and that is the OSHA medical questionnaire. But you can just Google or DuckDuckGo the OSHA medical questionnaire, and I'm just going to go over the most common things that will trigger you to have a medical physical after filling out this medical questionnaire. And I guarantee someone you know or yourself is involved. Do you smoke? Have you ever had a seizure? Diabetes, allergies, trouble smelling odors, history of bronchitis, pneumonia. And I'm not even reading them all. Any history with lung, any respiratory issues?
Any respiratory issues.
Even as a child, if you had mono, anything like that. Coughing in the night. Did you know that nighttime frequent urination is a reason to disqualify you? Heart attack, angina, heart failure, history of heart failure, pain or tightness in the chest, claustrophobia, blood pressure. I'm just going to show you how long the list is. You see how many? I look like I'm closing all the windows in my daughter's tablet here. I mean, but there are so many issues that if you click yes, you must be referred to someone credentialed in occupational health. There are doctors that specialize in occupational health. This is what we're talking about. We're not just being rogue and trying to be cool. This isn't a political issue. I'm not a Republican. I'm not a Democrat. I'm neither. I'm for freedom. And this is not freedom. This is tyranny. And this goes against my 18 years in this field. And by the way, I worked for the federal government for 13 years, not just in the military, but I worked as an OSHA trainer. I worked as my job code was 0690, the GS-12. And that was back in 2012. So I've come a long way. So I have no one that can fire me and work for myself. I am a military whistleblower. I've testified. I have whistleblower protection. I fear no government. I fear no government employee because I know my rights and I know the law, and I will use your own law and rights against you. And we're fighting for you. We're fighting for you all. You need to know your rights. I get that it's scary. But I want to provide one example, and then I'll hand it back to Tammy. I get emails and messages time from people. Let me give you this horrific situation. Did you know that sometimes when OSHA standards say that you must wear a form of PPE, whether it's an electrical worker needing, like, gloves that prevent from arc flashes, if your PPE can create a greater hazard elsewhere, it needs to be evaluated, and sometimes the PPE won't work.
Right.
Like wearing an ear loop mask mm-hmm. on an assembly line, that's why you have to tie your hair up when you're working around certain machinery because you'll get scalped. Well, the issue
right.
here is that with this whole mask mandate, I had an electrician come to me. The electrician has now lost his job. I had told them to get legal counsel. Their employer had them wearing a non-intrinsically safe and non-FR fire retardant face covering. That violates NFPA standards. So if you don't know about the National Fire Protection Association, even if something is not law, NFPA is considered something called a consensus standard. So even though there are organizations that devote their time to testing safety and health hazards and fire hazards, even though they're not a government agency, if there's no OSHA law to govern the hazard, they will cite you under that general duty clause I mentioned because, oh, you were unaware of a consensus standard that told you this was hazardous and you ignored it. So employers, if you own a business, I know you're fearing all these orders right now. You have rights. We need people to get together and set precedents so this stuff can stop. I saw an article saying it's going to be at least 1 or 2 years that we'll be in this mask. No way. If we all stop and we all fight for our rights and we all sit here and exercise the freedom that we celebrated on July 4th, we can stop this. There are a bunch of people in suits making decisions for the rest of us that are incorrect because they do not know our individual health histories and they don't know what we're doing or what temperatures we're working in or past experiences of trauma or health issues that can prevent them from wearing a facial covering. I am all about protecting ourselves from hazard. Hello, that's why we work in safety and health.
Mm-hmm.
But to protect you, the safest way to protect yourself, that hierarchy, let's step outside that and think about our home life. Eat right. Eat nutritious. That is your first line of defense. Stay hydrated. Eat right. Exercise universal precautions. Wash your hands frequently. I don't care how old you are. Sing your ABCs while you're washing your hands. Be mindful. I have a nose ring. I've been mindful about it. Actually, like, I'll use the back of my hand to twist it around to get it out of the way. You just don't touch your face. And women wearing makeup, make sure if you're applying your makeup or touching your face or fixing something, you've washed your hands. So did you know that there's a study back in 2018 that said the number one reason that flu spread in medical facilities wasn't a failure of the mask? It was cross-contamination through touching. And these are people who are trained to do it every day. There's a joke in our pre-field that we're the worst at our own jobs, whether we're using wheelchairs to reach up and cover.
Right.
It's the truth. So they forget these universal precautions. And that is the number one reason for the spread. It's touching. I believe, what's it called? It's a term where you're basically touching a surface and touching another. And just utilize those precautions, and you should be okay. And I don't know every single person that's watching your medical history, but this whole if you don't wear a mask, you're selfish, that's incorrect. If I wear a mask, I will have a full-on panic attack and probably a heart attack. So we can't sit here and shame people for not utilizing masks. On the same token, we can't shame those who do. We can just maybe provide a little bit of education in a pamphlet. You can silently fight for your rights, and you can silently educate others, and it's all about how you're saying it. So just keep that in mind.
Yeah, so the couple things that I want to expound on that were really good. What can you do? So I know everybody is upset. Everybody's angry because of the information that we're telling you, and you should be. These are government agencies. The government is supposed to be protecting us. These are government agencies that are supposed to be making sure that we have a safe and healthy working environment. But at the same time, the government has also told us that many things were safe for us that we now know were not, right? I could go on and on about the things the government has told us is safe. The government has said.
I know. There's a certain individual that shall remain nameless thanks to the Facebook box. He's a short little statured man. Looks like he's from the movie Spaceballs. But anyway, he just 6 weeks ago said that masks do not provide the protection that people are claiming. So therefore, if you are not feeling any symptoms, you should not be wearing them because they hinder your immune system function. But the narrative changes, doesn't it? And you got to follow the money on that. And I'll just leave that at that.
Right, exactly. My point is, the government, you can't trust the government to keep you safe. It's not their job to keep you safe. The government's only job, honestly, you guys, is to provide a framework, a structure within the free market economy can operate. They should not be participating in the economy. They should not be participating in our health and our well-being and our welfare, making sure that we have enough money, that we have enough whatever. That's our job, right? It's our job to make sure that we are safe, to take care of ourselves, to take care of our families, to evaluate the risks. So what is going on here should make everybody very angry. And what's going on particularly within Michigan OSHA, believe me, Kristen and I are going to follow up on this because we've got connections within these agencies, and they are going to hear from us tomorrow. Because they are actually being very contradictory and conflicting to the very reason and the essence that they were created. So what's going on? Well, I can tell you what's going on. Governor Whitmer, she is weaponizing these agencies against businesses, against all of us. And they don't have a choice but to follow. If the director, the AG, like Kristen said, if he stands up, what needs to happen to him? He'll be out of a job. And that's the way it works. So it's up to us to see. So what can we do? What can you do? And I know that's a lot of, you know, we're all mad. I get it. We're all on the same page. We're all angry. But what can we do? So what you can do about the mask issue, well, first of all, you have rights as an employee. So I know a lot of you that are watching are also business owners. So what can you do as a business owner? Number one, don't go along with it. It is not a law. You are not going to get thrown in jail. It is a mandate by one person who thinks she can control every single aspect of our lives and our businesses, and she can't. So why in the hell would you listen? Just open up, go back to work, and don't worry about it. Now, I know what you're thinking, because I'm a business owner too. So this is the next thought. Liability. My attorney is telling me, what if my employees sue me? Well, don't worry. Your employees cannot sue you in tort. Okay? They can't. Go check that one out with a lawyer. So you don't even need to worry about that. Liability. What if my customers claim they got the COVID from my business and they sue me? They will not be able to prove that in court. So let's debunk the liability issue. There are a ton of attorneys out there, and I know because I've been working with attorney groups, and some are awesome and some are horrible. And I'm not going to name names on this just because it's not professional, but there are some attorney groups even in the West Michigan area that are telling people to do things that are so far above and beyond what is reasonable. It's ridiculous. And if you listen and you follow as a business owner, you are going to be stressed and anxious constantly. Whereas if you recognize that this crazy tyrant who is telling us, who is trying to take control of every single aspect of our lives, if you recognize where this is coming from and that this is not a law and she has no legal ground to do this, and you just simply say, I am a business owner. I have property rights. My job is to protect my employees. My job is to provide services and goods to my customers. And I know how best to do that, not Governor Whitmer. So if you decide to just take responsibility and control for your own business and you decide it's not healthy, and it's all of my clients, trust me, guys, and some of you out there are my clients and you're watching so you can testify, you better give me a shout out right now and tell me, yeah, that's right, Tammy won't let us do this. Those of you that are my clients, no, I will not let you put your people in a mask. I actually say to my clients, if you put your people in a mask, I will fire you because I would be remiss in doing my job if I let you put all these people in masks and go to work in a 90-degree environment, high humidity levels means decreased oxygen levels to begin with in the ambient air. Then you cover their mouth and your nose, and they're going to be dropping like flies. And I've already had to deal with that from people working in masks. So don't do it. If we all just said no, what's she going to do? She can't throw us all in jail. She's going to take your business license away. Oh, wait, I think there's a court precedence for that. I think Carl lost his business license. She's very punitive. If you stand up and defy her, she'll stick her attorney general on you and take away your business. How did that work out for Carl? He got it back. There's a case precedent now. We have court precedents. So don't, what are you afraid of? It's time to, this is why this is being broadcast on Stand Up Michigan. It is time for us all, collectively, en masse, to stand up and say, nope, not me, not my business, not my family, not my employees, not my kids, just not going to do it because she has no right to do this to us. Okay, so we're coming at this from a health and safety perspective. We're also coming at this from a legal perspective. We're coming at this from a freedom perspective. Okay, so I know that there's a lot of fear for business owners. They're afraid they're going to get sued, and that's why they're going along with this. But business owners, what you need to be very careful of is people like me that will sue you. I have a lawsuit going on right now for a wrongful termination situation. And if you violate your employees' rights, you force them to do something that is not healthy, they come to you and say, I can't work in a mask. It's giving me headaches. It's making me feel nauseated. I'm sick, right? And you just say, sorry, you either mask up or you're out of here. Do you realize you just violated your employees' rights? You did not make reasonable accommodation to them for them. According to the ADA, you must. If your employee tells you, I can't do this job in this manner, it's making me sick, you must, by law, take every reasonable accommodation for that employee. That doesn't mean firing them. That is not a reasonable accommodation.
Can I add to that real quick, too? Because yeah. One thing that people are telling me is something is a condition of employment. There are employment laws mm-hmm. in place to where when you sign on and you agree to things, those are conditions of employment. If midway into your employment, new things are thrown at you, yes, you can push back. You have rights. And the number one scariest thing that I'm seeing in the workplace is, let me tell you, if anyone watching this or anyone you know, please share this with them. If you are pregnant, you absolutely get out of the mask. Get out of the mask. for 9 years in the Air Force, I managed the Air Force's fetal protection program. What did that mean? I had to make sure any pregnant military member, because every base I was at was multi, there was Army, Air Force, Navy, everyone. I was at a joint base. And any pregnant worker was protected, and they had to accommodate them and put them in an administrative role where they could no longer wear respiratory protection, where they previously worked in fuel or they did anything that was rigorous. If you are pregnant, you have rights for you and your fetus, and you should not be wearing a mask. There are so many studies. I can cite those in the comments later or message me at Kristen Megan on Facebook. I can show you those studies that show there is a highly dangerous, improper gaseous exchanges that have to do with fetal protection. So if you want to put your fetus at risk because of fear, that is wrong. You have rights. You are fighting for you and that little unborn child. Do not wear a mask. And if you are being told because of a history of cancer or you have a respiratory issue that you are at risk and need the mask, it's the other way around. Mm-hmm. You are the ones who should not be wearing a mask because your body is already having issues with those exchanges of air. And the issue with the mask, just to pedal back a little bit, the issue that we keep complaining about with these masks is that I have seen people come to me and say, well, what is it? These claims are that the mask won't filter COVID away from you, but however, it's allowing carbon dioxide. They basically try to call out saying, well, you're saying this, well, let me explain to you. Due to the micron size and the different types of masks you're utilizing, yes, it will go straight out the front of the mask and air travels through the path of least resistance. So if you're wearing an ear loop mask that pinches on the side, your air is going this way. And when I talked about how you change out your mask due to tasks, every task you change out your mask, that's not really available to us because we all don't have boxes of masks sitting around. But the issue with that is that moisture soils in the front of that mask. And what happens again? When that moisture gets to the front of the mask just like this, when you're breathing, your carbon dioxide is bouncing back and it's going through the path of least resistance. Because as you're exhaling, most of us breathe at this rate, like this. So by the time it bounces off that soiled material from the mask, it's bouncing right back. And if you have a history of migraines, you are the number one people. I should have mentioned this earlier. You are the number one people that can have brain hypoxia, issues with the mask. If you look at Dr. Blaylock, who's a neurologist, if you look at his studies, he's absolutely saying masks can make you lightheaded. That's why when I see people driving in masks, I have little mini
eyes. I know.
I mean, it's so dangerous. And I think it's going to be...
And school bus drivers.
Yes.
I'm seeing things about school bus drivers.
We're going to see more accident incidents in this. And when we talk about accidents, where's the liability?
Right.
Where's the liability? If we drive impaired, if we're drinking and driving, we're doing drugs and driving, or we're doing our makeup and driving with our feet, the crazy things I see people do, I mean, we are held accountable for reckless driving. But when your governor has put this fear in you, that means you should fear your own farts, you're going to wear a mask while you're driving, right? And you, especially the elderly, at most risk of having this reduced gaseous exchanges that are required for your body to operate correctly. Because if you have failure in your respiratory system, you have failure in brain function and your motor skills. And once those diminish and you're operating heavy machinery in a plant or you're driving a car, you are putting yourself, it is literally Russian roulette. And it does not take more than 3 minutes for these types of symptoms to occur. And that's from 18 years of experience fit testing people that usually takes 8 to 10 minutes. I've seen people drop like flies in 8 to 10 minutes.
We're already seeing it, you guys. And some of you watching know. Some of you watching are contractors. I work with general contractors and trade contractors who have lots of employees. They're dropping like flies. This is why I will not let my clients put their people in masks. And I actually write it into their safety and health plan. Yes, they have their COVID plans to get back to work. But I've also written infectious disease control plans, knowing that this is where we're going post-COVID. And they simply, because of the work they do, it is too great a hazard. There is language, you guys, in the OSHA standards that talks about feasibility and if it creates a greater hazard. So if it's not feasible for you to do something or if it creates a greater hazard, you don't have to do it. There is language in the OSHA standards. So here's what I need all of you to do. And I am noting your questions. I know this is lengthy, but I'm noting things like at-will employees, schools and masks, waivers. I'm seeing things like that. We're gonna get to all that. So I know this is long, but it's important. If you guys, what I need you to do as employees is if you go and you notify your employer that you are not feeling well. And I had a daughter, I'm glad you mentioned migraines, because I had a daughter that was fired because she has migraines. She has had migraines for years. She has special medication that she takes Maybe she's watching right now. Hi, honey, if you are. But she was fired from her job because she was working in a mask, running around, doing her work, exerting energy, breathing heavily, right? She has a physical job, and she had a physical job, and she was starting to trigger more headaches. She was getting bloody noses, and she was just feeling really crappy. She was getting very fatigued, nauseated, coming home more, sleeping more. And when I found out, when I asked her why, you know, what is going on, and I found out she was wearing a mask at work to do this, which I knew was very physical work, running around, just like a lot of you, in restaurants, tending bar, you know, construction, whatever. You're running around all day long breathing and exerting energy and actually higher respiratory rates and things like that, and yet you don't have that good oxygen intake or that carbon dioxide output. That was a problem, and it triggered for her more frequent headaches, bloody noses, and she actually went and told her employer. Because they did not listen to her, I was very concerned. Of course, I didn't want her to lose her job. She'd been there for 4 years. Some of you, I'm telling you this story because many of you can relate right now, and this is what I would suggest you do. So I went and I connected with an attorney group that I knew just from my other work, and I reached out and said, hey, there is language in the executive order, and this is what you all need to know. There's language in the executive orders. Beside the fact that the executive orders are not even legal, so you don't have to follow them. That's just a mandate. Remember, it's not a law. You have to decide whether you're going to follow it or not. They will not put you in jail for not following it. So right there, that should make your decision. But let's talk about the liability issue, because I know her employer would not accommodate her because they were afraid of getting sued, and I know who their attorneys were. And this attorney group is one that's telling a lot of other people in the Grand Rapids area the same thing. Things that are way above and beyond what you need to do, things that are unreasonable, things that actually put employees at risk, and things that violate employees' rights. And so that's what they did to her. So I went and I got a medical waiver created, and I know the whole concept of medical waivers right now is very, very new. And so this is a concept that is it's cutting edge because nobody else is doing this yet. We'll get there. A lot of people will end up getting there by the end of the summer. There will be a lot of schools, because we're going to get into the school conversation, that will have medical waivers. And this comes into the ADA and the HIPAA conversation and FMLA. So what happened was I got a medical health waiver created for her based on the language in the executive order that said only those who are medically able to tolerate a mask should be wearing a mask. Well, I'll be very honest with you. 99% of us are not medically able to tolerate even a face covering while we work all day long, because we know from testing that the oxygen levels inside that mask drop to hypoxic levels for most of us. That's dangerous. Now think about doing that all day, day after day. Some people don't react like other people, but for the majority of people, it does create headache, it creates fatigue, it creates dehydration, it creates nausea. And by the way, guys, those symptoms are the very first symptoms that the body, that tells you right there, the body is struggling to meet demands for oxygen. Those are the first symptoms and signals of oxygen deprivation. And this is what we train on. This is what Kristen and I look for, and this is what we train people on. If you're going to be put in a respirator, if you're going into confined spaces, know the signs and symptoms so that you can do a self-rescue, right? Because that's the easiest type of rescue, the safest. If I have to do an entry rescue, that's dangerous because now I know I'm going into a dangerous environment, and there is a hazard present, and the only thing I can rely on is my respirator because you've already gone down, right? So these are the things that we tell people. So all these people having headaches and nausea and sore throats, that's all signs and symptoms of oxygen deprivation. So the populace is being put at risk by the government's mandate. So what are we to do? Well, number one, talk to your employer. If your employer simply does what my daughter's employer did and says, I don't care if you have a medical waiver, you're fired, well, then you have a wrongful termination lawsuit on your hands. Because right there, that violates ADA law. The ADA law requires that they make reasonable accommodation for you if you notify them that you're struggling, that you have a health problem. Okay? So right there, that's an ADA violation. By the way, the very first offense for an ADA violation, and I'm going to put this up in the comments later, I'm going to give you the ADA's hotline, 1-800 number, so you can call them up and report your employer. Because if they do that and they violate your rights and you contact ADA, it's a $75,000 fine.
75?
Second offense, $150,000. Can you imagine if we all started standing up and saying, no, I just told you I have a health issue. You can't fire me. You have to make every reasonable accommodation. This is why we're doing this, because we want to educate you guys on all of this. So they're going to start dealing with the opposite liability that they're worried about right now. Right now they're worried about getting sued, but it's by their clients and things like that. A client might come in and say, I got COVID. Well, I've been told by every attorney that a lawsuit like that will never hold water, because you cannot prove where somebody picks up COVID. There's no way. You could have picked it up at the grocery store. You could have picked it up wherever, and out and about, right, at the restaurant, wherever you're at. There's no way you can prove that. So that's a moot point right there. So just debunk that whole conversation, because attorneys have told me that nobody's ever going to be able to prove that in court. Okay, so then what we should be worried about is our employees' rights, because if we start violating our employees' rights, we're going to have wrongful termination lawsuits on your hands. And what it's going to take to stop this is for a few of us to get mad enough. And there are so many constitutional attorneys out there right now who will take these cases on for free just because they know they will win, because you have the law on your side, right? It's going to take a few of us getting mad enough to stand up and not be afraid to go there, because that's the point we're at right now. So those are some of the things that you can do. There's also, I talked to my attorneys, and I have decided that I'm going to put on my own business page. This is not Stand Up Michigan. This is completely separate. This is Tammy K. Clark Companies. I'm having my business page taken down right now because I'm having it revamped because of all of this COVID craziness, and people are reaching out to me like by the thousands a day. So I'm having some work done on my website. But when I put it back up, my attorney is giving me a draft form of a template. I mean, you can get online and you can search out all kinds of business templates, right? So we have created what we believe, one of the first in the country, is a draft. It's a template that is just like a Word document that you can write up yourself. You can't use this one because it's got the word. It's going to have the word draft across it. But you can look at it and you can write your own, or you can take it to your attorney and you can have your attorney write your own, like I did. I went to my attorney and said, hey, I'll pay you for a couple hours worth of work to write me up a medical waiver that matches the language in the executive order so that she can opt out because of her health issues. And that's exactly what we created. Okay, so there's no guarantees with it. I mean, I will be honest with you. We're in West Michigan. I know this is going to broadcast across the whole country. We're in West Michigan. Menards. What do we want to get into Menards? No place I will ever, ever step foot
never
in again.
Nope.
Because they don't care about my rights. Not at all. I guess their attorney is probably a stickler, because they have some sort of policy that violates everybody's rights. They don't care about it. But anyway, my point was, this medical waiver, even though it's just a template and it's a draft, and you're going to have to go make your own, this is just language that you can kind of copy and you can work with your attorney on to write something similar. But there are so many people across the country who are reaching out to me by the thousands every day about this. I can't keep up.
Okay.
That is, yeah, same with you. So I know that God put us in this position for a reason. The experience that the two of us have between the two of us, like 50 years. Think about that. I know, I just aged off.
Yeah, but
it's okay. The experience that we have between the two of us about these issues and the position that we're both in, I mean, you guys think about it. Nobody can fire us. What's the worst they can do? I'm fully expecting OSHA is going to take away my credentials. I'm okay with that. Because you know what? I don't care. I don't have their back anymore. Because they've just thrown all of you under the bus. They're not watching out for you. They're violating their own mission, their own purpose.
Well, when we talk about violations, you brought up something, so I took a note to remind me. Yeah. By the way, I put hands in kind of business. So another issue, I know we're predominantly talking about masks here, but you may have seen in the last 24 hours a news article of a child that looked like, what, 3 or 4?
Oh, the burn.
They had a burn. It looked like a chemical burn plus some contact dermatitis around the face area from the grocery cart.
Yep.
And, okay, so if you are a business owner, I'm seeing some of the comments. I have my phone here. I'm trying to steal some of the comments. If you are a business owner, you do not have to follow the mask mandate. But what you must follow is if you are introducing new chemicals to your workplace, whether it's an administrative area, an industrial area, OSHA has HAZCOM laws. We both teach HAZCOM training. Basically, you have to have a written training program that makes sure that your employees know. In this situation, from what I read from the story, unless something changes,
is that whoever was cleaning the carts did not properly dilute the sanitizer. It's kind of like common sense for us. We know you don't mix bleach and ammonia because, you know, you're going to have a really hard problem utilizing that in your home. Don't do it. If there's something that you can mix, but you can't mix it simultaneously, and I'm not going to get into it because I don't want to confuse people, but there's some chemicals that are incompatible, but they're not incompatible if you do one first and then the other, but if you pour them at the same time. So these are all issues that I don't expect the average layperson to understand, but that's what your written HAZCOM program is for. So if you're wiping down carts at a grocery store, you're wiping down desks, a lot of this material that's utilized to sanitize environments, did you know that they should be utilized at night while wearing gloves and with the windows open with cross ventilation? You're not just supposed to be using it like her and I are in a conference room right now. There's not windows. I would absolutely not use an industrial sanitizer in here unless I knew all workers were out of the environment, and I did it quickly and I left. If you go to a doctor's office and you see Cabbie wipes, and on the top of the bottle, like we've got some Clorox wipes right here. On the top of Cabbie wipes, you'll see a picture that shows a baby crawling, and it says no. It's because it's not a baby wipe, because it's hazardous to your skin. There's, you know, understanding routes of entry is big when it comes to COVID. Mm-hmm. There's routes of entry. There's contact hazards, ingestion hazards, inhalation hazards. There's tons of different absorption hazards that can occur. So we're just so used to, but basically, when you're utilizing certain plates, even this, like there's a safety data sheet for different chemicals. You have to know the hazards associated with utilizing cleaners. It's not like you're just buying a cleaner. A lot of the cleaners, this is what I always tell people. If you've ever heard of the brand Gojek, did you know that a lot of sunscreens, if you had those same sunscreens in a workplace environment, it would need to legally be stored in a flammable cabinet? So we are trained to think just because we buy it in a store, it's safe. We are trained to think because something says it's protecting us from this, that it can't harm us in another way. Again, it has to do with routes of entry and understanding those exposure limits. And that's why you need to actually read the fine print in everything you buy. And there's a joke about picking your own poison, but when we're having the poison pushed upon us and we don't get a choice, and you're just told, hey, go wipe this stuff down, you need to say, you need to find out. And you can respectfully exercise your employee rights and say, oh, may I see the safety data sheet? That's what SDS means. May I see the safety data sheet on this new chemical so I can make sure I'm utilizing it safely? On that safety data sheet, it may list challenges associated with your medical history. And you should not be utilizing it, like being pregnant or having asthma. You shouldn't utilize certain things that can be an inhalation hazard. You have sensitive skin. It's no different than in the military. There's a lot of people that are African-American that can't, you have to be clean-shaven in the military. They have shaving waivers because due to their skin and their ethnicity, they are more prone to having major painful rashes on their face. So nothing in this world is one size fits all. I know you may think, like, we all breathe oxygen and all these things. There are so many different makeups and genetic factors and human factors that play a role. And nothing is one size fits all. None of us all wear the same size shoe, nothing. So this blanket mandate is so irresponsible. I'm just going to reiterate that again. And I did see a question from somebody that said, I'm
sorry.
No, it's okay.
That's my home night. You're not disturbed, though. Sorry, guys.
Just bear with us for a moment. But basically, if you're a business owner, you have a right to refuse mandating the mask. And if you are threatened to be shut down or you have any issues, you can claim the whole liability issue. If someone faints in my store, I don't want to be sued. I can't require people that I don't know their medical history, and you can't legally ask their medical history. That is your defense. And in the moment, you may be threatened by the government, but there are enough freedom-loving attorneys that know the law. You have advocates like us that can point you in the right direction to cite the right law. Don't be afraid. It's the small minority that can change the majority. And when it comes to this stuff, you can't be afraid of these people in suits.
That's such a good point. And
we control the economy.
Seriously, and we've gotten to the point, guys, that we've let this go too long. We have given our power away, our freedoms away, and we've given control to people who are not freedom-loving. They're power-hungry. They're very much looking for control, and there is an agenda behind this. And I'm not going to get into that. We're going to keep this focused on the facts about masks. But there's a reason that this is happening. There's a reason that even the agency that was designed and created to be your number one defense for safety and health in the workplace is now doing things and requiring things that actually hurt you. Think about it. There is a reason we are at this, because we have a governor that is weaponizing them against you. And if they don't follow, the head of that agency will get fired. And then his underling will get fired. And then his underling. I mean, it's just, that's how it works. That is how it works in these agencies. And so you have to understand what's going on. And what that should do is that should create such a righteous anger in you that you get so mad that you stand up. Don't be afraid. That's the point that we're at. We can't have any fear anymore. Okay. Seriously,
I just want to say real quick, I'm reading the comments, and a couple of people have called Tammy's phone for using her phone. If the video is pausing, people are thinking Facebook's censoring it. She's getting a phone call, even though it's on new Do Not Disturb. So if the video pauses, it's just because we're rejecting a phone call. So please be patient.
And I did put it on Do Not Disturb, so I don't know what's going on. But anyway, yeah, so please be patient if that happens. I have an employee calling me who's apparently not watching this. I'll deal with him later. But anyway, my point is that we're past the point of being concerned. We're past the point of being afraid. We got to fight the fights that are ours, because I'll tell you what, this is what I've been telling people lately. We're going to go down one way or another, I feel like, unless by some miracle these petition drives are successful and we can take it back. And the work that even Kristen and I are doing, we're putting our necks on the line here, people. I mean, we know this is going viral. We know that we are getting hateful things said about us. We know that we're being called all kinds of things. Our credentials are being challenged, our experience. We know what opposition research is. We are putting our necks on the line big time because we're not afraid. We've gotten to the point where we're more pissed than we are afraid. And that's the point you all need to get to, or we will not be able to take this back. So we're just getting together tonight to try to give you some information, factual information, from experts who know the information, and tell you that what you're hearing from the World Health Organization, from the CDC, and some of these other, they don't even know from week to week what they're going to tell you. Their information flip-flops all the time. Why is that?
And I'm seeing comments coming up asking about what they do about the school situation, and you have to constantly remember, well, there's arguments of whether or not these executive orders are allowing this anywhere, even legal. But the bigger issue is every single mandate in every state, if you read the fine print, says if medically able.
Right.
There are countless reasons that you are medically unable to wear a mask. And so, I mean, I understand that Whitmer came out with her recommendations, but in your own school district, just pay attention to the emails. Pay attention to the language that's going to be emailed to you, because I think they're waiting to see what phase we're in when schools are scheduled to potentially reopen.
Mm-hmm.
And I am totally willing to come back and do another live to just solely address schools, whether there's exemptions for everything. When it comes to children, there cannot be mandates, whether vaccines or whatever. I don't care what state you're in. There's a medical loophole for everything, and we will provide those for you. So please be patient. Let's not put the cart before the horse. Let's see what phase we're in when school opens, and we will gladly come back and provide you all the information you need to be able to protect your children.
And so right now, what I would tell you to do is call your school board.
Yes.
The school boards are meeting right now. This week, next week, I know from talking to my own, they don't know what to do because they're waiting to see what the health department tells them. So you need to call your school boards right now. You need to tell the school board, my child will not be coming back to school if they are required to wear a mask. My child will not be coming back to school if they are required to do distance learning. Okay, if you're a teacher, I will not be coming back to school if I have to wear a mask. Now, I know these are very big, bold statements to put out there, and that's what scares people, right?
I want to add something, too. So I'm not going to name any names, but I have lots of friends and other people in my life who are educators. And in some districts, from what I'm hearing, is they are sending out emails basically asking, are you willing to take a year off, like an approved year of absence? Because I think that they are actually anticipating people homeschooling. I think they know that we are not going to put up with this. We are not going to put our kids in mental health situations where they're already dealing with, like, changes. And my youngest is going to kindergarten. My oldest is going to be a junior in high school. These type of situations, mental health issues can really affect the rest of your body. We all know that. So the issue here is that I'm getting the vibe they want to open schools.
Mm-hmm.
And they're pretty much asking people, if you don't feel safe coming to school, are you willing to take a year off? If not,
if you are, we can bring someone in who's willing to make this risk for themselves. Because we, all the things we do know about COVID and don't know about COVID, what we do know is that it's already been presented to us that the younger population is the least at risk of contracting COVID. And all these issues with the positive tests, every time I hear that, oh, we're having more positive tests, well, no crap, we're doing more tests. I am 100% convinced I had it in October from traveling to London based on the symptoms and knowing about infectious diseases. It all clicked in. But, however, there are so many people who are asymptomatic carriers. I have a friend who owns a business who told me that they were testing employees and they were so shocked at how many people presented antibodies. And one thing that you need to understand, for you, the average person, hearing coronavirus, you're like, oh, coronavirus. We have had coronaviruses around us for decades upon decades. The common cold, when you're like, oh, got a cold today, that's a form of coronavirus. It's just that this coronavirus is attacking parts of the body more aggressively. But we are still having debates about how we treat it, whether it's through medication, our ventilators helping or hurting. So we're still learning about this. So until we actually know, again, utilize universal precautions. Let's not whip on a mandate that's going to interfere with our immune system and our body's ability to fight back and know what's happening. You have to allow your body to be minimally exposed. If you are someone who has a very, very diminished immune system, stay home. Utilize, you know, employment, whatever you can do. Everything is not for everyone. Again, not everything is one size fits all, but what we do know is that masks can inhibit the ability to have the immune system function properly, and masks can have the ability to increase universal precaution failure. Because when you're wearing a mask, you keep constantly adjusting it. Women get their hair out of it. You touch your face nonstop. You store it improperly. You reuse it. I saw a man riding a bike downtown who had the loop of his mask around his arm pedaling. He's catching all the environmental toxicants. There's a difference between toxins and toxicants. And they're all in that mask, and he's slapping it on his face. And I'm not trying to bash that person that I saw. It's just failure to understand the training because providing that to us. We don't just hand out driver's licenses. We don't just hand out this or that. She's talking about she's put stuff in place to stop selling vapes to children that are flavored. If she truly cared about the health of the people, she wouldn't be putting a blanket mandate out there that is actually harming most people. And you think now it hasn't harmed you? Let's stay in these masks for another year or two and see how many people have respiratory issues, who have increased fungal infections in their lungs, who pass out while driving, who are being crushed by operating machinery, and also any medications that you might use further inhibit your ability to get those proper gaseous exchanges. So again, your medical history, my medical history are different. What we're both doing in the mask is different. And one major point I want to make, in 18 years of managing the respiratory protection program for multiple industries, working through OSHA, no job I've ever seen in 18 years has allowed people to utilize respirator masks for greater than 5 hours. And within those 5 hours, they had to have proper work rest cycles. And in the heat that we have right now, there's a calculation called the WBGT calculation. Sorry, we had a phone call. So a WBGT calculation, that is a calculation that is used in general industry and some in construction, where basically if people are working outdoors, they have to have proper work rest cycles. So they might work for 40 minutes, and then they need a 20-minute rest to cool off and hydrate. None of this is being discussed. Because the WBGT calculations need to be adjusted to address the additional solar load and heat load on the human body from covering the face. These are the small things you don't think of, and this is why we are so irate and passionate about getting you the information to know your rights. There's so much information. Our brains are kind of like pulling up, and I know that we're kind of all over, but it's because we have so much experience in this. And it's not just us. We brought this up before. It's not just us. It's just we happen to be in a situation where we work for ourselves, and we have no one to fear firing us for speaking out. Because we're getting phone calls, but I can tell you right now, there are way too many people, even including my husband, that's afraid to speak out publicly for losing their job. It's sad, but it's real.
And that's a real concern, and we feel for you. We understand completely. How many of us can go without our paycheck? I mean, that's a very legitimate concern. Both Kristen and I are not in that position. We don't rely on somebody else. You know, we have our own source of income and clients who support us. And so, you know, we're in a position where we can speak up, and so we are. So we're going to continue this, but what I would tell you guys is to right now get on your school boards, talk to your school boards. I know that they are waiting on the health department and what the governor says next, but they need to understand because your kids mean money to them. that your kids are not coming back if they don't open up as normal.
Your mom really loves you, Tammy. Her mom keeps calling standby.
Apparently she's not watching me either.
Maybe she's calling to tell you she got kicked out of Menards.
Probably. Anyway, all right, well, we've been yapping at you for a long time, and I know people, you know, they get fatigued after hearing so much information, and we could go on for another. We both do trainings that are, like, all day long, so
yeah.
We better wrap it up. Besides, my mom's not going to quit calling. So I think that's my cue.
I would just say, if you guys all know Tammy because she's kicking ass here with Stand Up Michigan, my handle, I work for a different committee here in Michigan, but we are uniting and we don't care about any other issues going on.
Mm-hmm.
We are kicking ass together because we have similar fields. So you can follow me on Facebook at Kristen Megan. You can direct message me if you have questions specifically. I literally spend probably 5 hours a day responding to messages right now to help people. So
mm-hmm.
if you have questions, ask
me.
Me
too.
I stay up literally till 3 a.m. every day answering questions. I will get back to you.
I've been doing the same thing. And I've been telling all of you guys, honestly, I'm not ignoring you. Since I did my last live, I'm getting hundreds a day of, like, private messages and friend requests. And I hear you. My heart hurts for you. I know you guys are struggling and you're desperate for answers and you're pissed off and you're afraid. And I hear you, and I'm trying, but I'm trying to work. And I'm also, you know, I've got some clients still and trying to, you know, keep some work going. And then at the same time, I'm working as now the executive director with Stand Up Michigan. And so I don't sleep a whole lot. And I hear you. I see you. Just please know, I'm going to try to answer you guys through some of these lives, some of the questions that I'm getting. And keep an eye on my website. I'm going to have it pulled down and revamped. And some of the resources that you'll find on the website will answer your questions and will help you. So it's TammyKClark.com. It's Tammy, T-A-M-M-Y-K, just middle initial K, Clark.com. It's up right now. It won't be up for very long. And then when I get it back up and going again, you'll have some resources about these very things you've been asking me questions about, just to offer you some guidance. And it's up to you. To do your homework like I did. Take some of the references. These are just drafts. These are just, you know, templates. Take it to your attorney. Take it to your employer. Take it to your school board and see what you can do with it. No, there's no guarantees, but at least it's some resources and some tools, and that's what Kristen and I are trying to give you, some hope, some resources, some tools. And for those of you that are watching who feel like we're being irresponsible because we're not following the narrative, let me just encourage you that the best thing you can do to protect yourself for your safety, for your health, for your family, is through nutrition. Keeping your immune system strong is the number one way you can overcome any corona-type virus, cold, flu, anything. Proper hydration, drink a lot of water. Get the sugar out of your diet. Vitamin C, vitamin D, zinc, B12, all of these things are very important. And you heard them talk about hydroxychloroquine, right? The controversial drug that works, and we all know this. Well, we know that quinine is very powerful. You can get that in club soda. I mean, we know that this is a very powerful, that's what hydrochloroquine has in it, a component of quinine. So you drink club soda, tonic water, we're getting that quinine and zinc. That's what the combination of hydrochloroquine and Z-Pak, erythromycin, zinc, Z-Pak, that's what that is. So if you take a lot of zinc, vitamin D, B12, C,
even E,
and A, vitamin E, just keep your body, you know, get the sugar out of your diet because sugar suppresses your immune system more than anything. And you can beat most viruses and, you know, it's in most colds and coronaviruses, just a proper nutrition, rest, and hydration.
I want to go ahead and real quick. I mentioned my own stuff to follow, but I have another friend who's a toxicologist. I would highly recommend following her. She covers a lot of health freedom rights, and she is very laboratory and science-based. And her name is Ashley Everly. Ashley Everly. On Facebook, if you just Google it, even if you misspell it, you'll find her. She is an awesome, selfless mother. She's been in this field a long time. Her and I network all the time, and she's working really hard with this COVID issue, and she's got a lot of other information about health freedom type things like vaccine freedom, all that stuff, nutrition. She is a true gem in this
in this fight. So I would follow her. She provides a lot of free information.
Yep. So I think we're going to wrap with that because we've thrown a lot of information at you, and there will be more to come. This is a very dynamic, very fluid situation, and it's changing by the day. I'm getting information that the governor is going to be on again tomorrow at 11:30. Dear God, help us. I think happy hour is going to start really early tomorrow to get through that because we don't know what she's going to say, and she's put teasers out there before she makes big announcements, and she's been putting some teasers out there about the numbers are going up, and, you know, of course they are. We're having more tests done. But the death rates are not going up, which means this virus, we're getting so many more positive tests from a lot of people who, if you've had a coronavirus, if you've had a cold, you're very good chance you're going to test positive. Doesn't mean you have the COVID. If you've had it and you've got antibodies, you're going to test positive. If you've had it and you need to come back for your second test, that counts as a double test. There's a whole lot of comorbidity going on as well. People are being claimed that they're COVID deaths that were not COVID deaths, because the hospitals get more money for those. That is not conspiracy. That is true. That's fact. So these numbers are way up, but the deaths are not way up. And so who cares, honestly? That just means we have a greater amount of herd immunity than we thought, which is good news. We should all be celebrating because it means this virus is way less deadly than what we originally thought.
I thought of one thing I want to add. I know we're trying to close this out. It's been longer than we expected. I want to point out an issue I find completely ironic. Did you know with the amount of people, we have over 1 million people in this country that are HIV positive? And in the workplace, did you know that you do not have to disclose if you're HIV positive unless your diagnosis and your issue interferes with your ability to do your job safely? So we all know there's no cure for HIV. But we don't shame HIV people that have the diagnosis like we do with even people who aren't diagnosed with COVID.
Right.
And there are protections in place. So look at some of the historic protection with people with HIV. And, yes, I'm comparing it to COVID. Because while HIV is not mainly respiratory, it's still a disease without a cure. And when you have COVID, from what we know, you can move on from it and survive and hopefully have some form of immunity. But it's different with HIV. So why are we treating one class of a disease different than another class? And I think they're using this new strain of coronavirus to instill a lot of social engineering changes, and I'm just going to leave it at that.
Well, thank you, Krista. Now you guys know why I pulled her in, right? Does she rock or what? She's awesome.
And I didn't swear. So.
didn't say any of those trigger words we were told not to say. So hopefully Facebook didn't flag us. But anyway, so you guys go to Stand Up Michigan to Unlock Michigan. Sign up. There are 3 questions that you need to ask there, or you need to answer there. And then we will reach out to you because you know we have the petition going now with the State Board of Canvassers has approved the language. Ron did the live last night, and so you've seen that we've got the petitions, and we can start circulating them, and we're very excited to start working with all of you to unlock Michigan and end the tyranny. We have to stop the bleeding. That's like the main issue right now that we're all dealing with. And then, of course, and there's more work to do for long term, and we all need to just stay in unity and stay focused on that because divided, a house cannot stand. A house divided against itself cannot stand. So we have to remain in unity, and we have to remain positive and working towards the same goals. Okay? Love you all. Bye.
That was Tammy Clark and Kristen Megan. You can find Tammy Clark at Tammy K. Clark. Kristen Megan is spelled KristenMeghan. She's on Facebook. And also, let me see. I just wrote down the 2 groups. One is Stand Up Michigan, and I believe that would be Tammy Clark, and Unlock Michigan, which I believe would be Kristen Megan. Kristen recommended that everybody follow Ashley Everly. She didn't spell that, so good luck to you. Ashley Everly, I presume on Facebook. She said she has more information and has credentials, as do these ladies. And again, Tammy Clark's website is Tammy K. Clark. You have been listening to YouTube. The channel is Stand Up Michigan, and the link is directly below the screen. Let us hope that this video remains, but if not, This is the purpose of my recording it today on Public Advocate. My name is Sally Olcordy, and, you know, if you want to be free, you kind of have to act free. That's the key. And don't wear masks. They're not good for you.